This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Introducing the Star Patrol Spotlight, the most intense flashlight you've ever seen. Compared to two car headlights, the Star Patrol shines up to four times as bright.
That's bright!
Illuminate objects up to a half mile away, even from the top of a skyscraper. The Star Patrol easily lights up buildings from across the skyline.
That's insanely bright!
Push Turbo Boost for a crazy bright boost that's 100 times brighter for 30,000 candelas of mega bright light.
What? That's insanely bright!
With 10 illumination modes, the Star Patrol is a spotlight, floodlight, emergency light, and more. Take care of all your lighting needs with one Star Patrol. Don't settle for dull flashlights. If the Star Patrol isn't the brightest flashlight you've ever seen, return it for a full refund. Go to GetStarPatrol.com for your free turbo boost, plus free shipping and a money-back guarantee. That's GetStarPatrol.com. GetStarPatrol.com.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code IHEART. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This is Kid in a Cage.
Florida versus Timothy Ferriter.
A father accused of locking his adopted son inside a cage. Join us as we hear the facts behind these charges
through live courtroom audio from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. You may be seated. Okay, so we need to check the video on this. The video needs to exclude the witness box for this. With IT here?
IT is not in here.
Let me see what comes up.
I think your camera's off. Because if you are. Yeah.
All right.
Can you switch cameras?
Yeah, I can put this one. Here's what I'll do. All right, we're back in session on State versus Ferriter. All sides ready to proceed? Okay. All right, give me just a moment.
Thank you.
And my bailiff's already made the notice to everyone about the emergency warning. We're supposed to get between 2 and 2:50, did you say?
I can't turn off my phone yet.
I understand. There may be some phones that that will hear the sounding, mine included, because I have to keep mine for messages from my judicial assistant. So I'm not going to require that you turn it off. So. But when they go off, don't anybody panic because it's just a, yeah. All right, so as soon as your witness is available, Ms. Coakley, you'll let me know. And Ms. Murad, Mr. Waheed, you folks are ready to proceed as well? Okay. It's off right now.
Okay.
I'm on top of it. Okay. All right, so let's get the jury out here. We have the witness ready. You can go ahead and bring the jurors out.
Witness, I'll need that again, but that's
next witness. Is it a Zoom testimony?
No, but we're gonna publish some.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, you can use that at your leisure.
Yeah,
whatever
but
you
we
need
might for. Need to like reconfigure.
That's fine. Yeah. All rise. All right, everyone may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, welcome back. We are still obviously in the state's portion of the case. I'll be calling their next witness in just a moment. I don't know if my bailiff has let you know, but there is some emergency warning that's supposed to hit all phones between 2 and 2:50. If you have your phones on vibrate or off, if they're on vibrate, it may go off, so don't be alarmed if that happens. For those persons that are viewing these proceedings on Zoom, this proceeding immediately beginning in just a few moments will be covered by audio, and only a video portion of the attorneys in the gallery, the witness will not be shown on live camera per agreement of the parties in this proceeding. So with that, is the state ready to call its next witness?
Yeah, the state will call Ronnie Barrett.
All right.
That the evidence you're about to give would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Ms. Coakley, you may begin at your convenience.
Can you please tell the jury your name?
My name is Ronan Farreter.
What's your middle name?
Ty Farreter.
Do you sometimes go by Ty?
Yes.
Among your friends and your family?
Yes.
Okay. How old are you?
16.
What's your date of birth?
09/07/2007 by the Vietnamese government.
Is that where you're originally from?
Yes.
Approximately how old were you when you came to the United States?
1.5 years old. I came here in February of 2009.
Okay. How did you end up coming here?
I was adopted by Tracy and Tim Farreter.
And you came, and then that's when you came for the first time into the United States?
Yes.
Now, today, what grade are you in?
10th.
Okay. What, in school, what kind of classes are your favorite right now?
Math and science.
Okay. What kind of math classes are you taking?
AP calculus.
Okay. What about science?
AP chemistry for the final arts. Okay.
And so you have that big AP test at the end of the year?
Yes.
Do you know what we're here to talk about?
Yes.
Okay. Is this something, how do you feel about having to come in here and talk about this?
Apathetic.
Okay. Do you feel nervous at all?
Not really.
Is this something you like to talk about?
No.
Do you feel relieved about talking about it?
As I said, I don't have any feelings about it.
So you kind of told us that you came to the United States when you were adopted. I want to talk about who was in your family when you were younger. Okay. You said Tim and Tracy Ferreter were your parents?
Yes.
Did you have any siblings when you were younger?
Yes.
Tell us who your siblings were.
My siblings were Nola Ferreter, Fiona Ferreter, and Pierce Ferreter.
Okay. Where do you fall in the age range of your siblings?
Second oldest.
Okay. Who's older than you?
Fiona.
And then Nola's next?
Yes.
And then Pierce is the youngest child?
Yes.
So how far apart are you, Fiona, and Nola?
Fiona is 2 years older than me. Nola is 1 year younger than me. And Pierce is 10 years younger than me.
Okay. So how old were you when Pierce was born?
11 or 12.
Okay. Does it sound, when was he born? February?
He was born in February of, yeah.
Yeah. Around 2017-ish? Is that right? Or am I wrong?
Let me think.
What grade were you in?
I was in fifth grade.
Okay, you were in fifth grade, so you were in elementary school about the time that he was born.
Yes.
Okay. So 10, 11, between around that age?
Yes.
Now, in school, were you close in grade to any of your siblings?
My sister was 2 grades above me.
Which Fiona. Sister is that, Fiona?
Nola, 1 grade below me. And Pierce, not applicable because he's not in school yet.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about what your family life was like when you lived in Florida. How many times did your family live in Florida?
Twice.
Twice. When was the first time?
When I was first adopted until we moved to Arizona.
Okay. How old were you approximately when you moved to Arizona?
I just finished third grade.
Okay, so you're in Arizona, you're in Florida until the third grade.
Yes.
And then in the third grade is when you first were in Arizona.
Yes.
How long did you stay in Arizona for?
I stayed in Arizona for about 4 years. Okay. Until halfway through eighth grade.
Okay. So Arizona is third grade through halfway through the eighth grade year.
Yes.
Okay. And so the first time you were in Florida, you were real young, like small elementary school age.
Repeat the question.
Is it fair to say that the first time you were in Florida, you were very young? It was young elementary school age.
Yes.
And then Arizona was elementary school and the very beginning of middle school.
I was there until my middle year of eighth grade.
Until the middle of eighth grade. And then you moved back to Florida.
Yes.
And so when you moved to Florida the second time, you were in the middle of eighth grade, how old were you? It was about 14 years old, seem right?
Yes.
Now, when you moved back to Florida, what time of year was that?
Somewhere in December.
Okay. So somewhere in December of the middle of your eighth grade year.
When I moved to Florida?
When you moved to Florida the second time.
Yes.
And where in Florida, like which town did you move to?
I moved to Jupiter.
And is that where your family's house was in Jupiter?
Yes.
And so did your whole family move with you?
Yes.
And what school did you start at?
I started at Independence Middle School.
Is that a school in Jupiter?
It's a school in Jupiter.
Was it close to your house?
Yes.
Now, I want to talk about kind of how your family was run with Tim and Tracy, the defendants. Who was the person in your family who was in charge of setting the rules?
Tim.
Okay. Who was the person in your family that was in charge of deciding kind of what kind of punishment you would get?
Tim.
And who was the one that kind of decided how you would be treated, the person in charge?
Tim.
Now, did Tracy also go along with and support what Tim did?
Yes.
Was it an option for you if you disagreed with a rule or if you wanted to discuss the way you were being treated? Was that something that you could have a discussion with the defendant, Tim?
No.
Now, talk to me about when you moved to Florida. What was the house like?
The house, when I moved back to Florida in 2021?
Yes, December 2021?
Yes.
Yeah, how was the house like?
So the house had a two-car garage. It had three bedrooms, one office, and two bathrooms. And we also had two living rooms and a backyard.
Okay. Tell us who had the bedrooms. Who had what bedroom?
Fiona had a bedroom, Nola had a bedroom, and Pierce had the office as a room, and Tim and Tracy had a room together.
Okay. I want to talk to you for a second about something that's already been entered into evidence and see if you recognize or we can talk about some of these photographs, okay?
Okay.
Permission to approach, Your Honor, what's already been entered into evidence as states 3A through C.
Granted.
Pierce's room.
Okay. Now, in these pictures, there's like some mattresses on the floor in Pierce's room. Is that what it was like when you were living there?
No.
Were those mattresses on there?
No.
In the floor? Do you know where those mattresses were?
That mattress was if it's an inflatable mattress, it was in storage or in my room. If it was an actual mattress, it would come from my room.
You mentioned that there was that Nola had a room.
Yes.
Fiona had a room. Your parents had a room. And Pierce had the office.
Yes.
Where did you sleep?
I slept in an 8x8 room in the garage.
Okay. Was that room built into the garage?
It was built inside the garage.
Inside the garage?
Yes.
Who built that? Or who had it built?
Timothy hired a contractor to build it in December of 2021.
Right, and how do you know that?
Because I was kept in their closet and I overheard the conversation of them having to build it.
Okay. Now, I'm going to approach something that has been entered into evidence already as States 9. Okay?
You may approach. And you can approach freely.
I'm showing you what's already been entered into evidence as States 9. What does that show?
This shows the room.
And so is this a picture of the garage from the outside?
Yes.
And then in there, can you see the back wall of the room?
Yes.
Is that the room that you're talking about that you stayed in the defendant's home in Jupiter?
Yes.
I want to talk about what it was like in that room. You said it was about 8x8?
Yes.
Did it have a concrete floor? Or what was the floor like?
So, the floor was concrete, but I used these little 16x16 inch mats of carpet to put down on the floor, so it wasn't so hard.
Okay, so it had a concrete floor, but on top there was a carpet laid on top of it.
Yes.
What kind of furniture did you have in that room?
I had a desk and a bed.
Did the bed have a bed frame or what was it?
The bed had no frame, had no box spring. It was just a mattress on the floor.
Okay. And mattress on the floor, what size of mattress was it?
Size of the mattress was a twin size.
Now, did the room have any windows or any outside light?
No, it only had an air conditioner.
Let's talk about that air conditioner for a second. Were you allowed to touch or operate the air conditioner?
No.
Were you allowed to turn it on if you were hot or turn it off if you were too cold? No. Would you get in trouble if you touched the air conditioner at all?
Yes.
And who did that direction come from?
Tim.
Did the room have any lights?
It had a light, but it was controlled outside the room.
Okay, so if you wanted to turn on the light, is that something that you could do when you were inside the room?
No.
Did you have any control over when the lights were on or when the lights were off? Who controlled that?
My parents, Tim or Tracy.
Okay. Were there times that you were in the room in the dark?
Yes.
Is that at night sometimes?
Yes, and also during the day.
Okay, so there are periods of time during the day where you would be there in the dark, in the room.
Yes.
What was it like in the room when the lights were off?
It was pitch black. You couldn't see anything.
Would you have to feel your way around to
yes.
see what's going on? Now, did the room have a bathroom or access to the bathroom?
It had a bucket for my urine and feces, but that was basically it.
Okay. So if you were in the room and you were closed in there and you had to use the bathroom, what was your only option?
Use the bucket.
Now, I want to talk about the time frame in Florida. While you were in there, were there times where you were locked in the room, unable to leave, and had to use the bathroom?
Yes.
And did you use the bucket in the corner of the room in order to relieve yourself?
Yes.
Now, in Florida, did you ever have to use that bucket for feces?
No.
But did you have to use it to urinate?
Yes.
What about previously, we'll talk about it a little bit more depth, when you were in Arizona, did you ever have to use the bucket for Arizona for feces?
Yes.
Did you have to use it for urine?
Yes.
Because had to urinate in the room on occasion, how was the, did the room smell at all?
Yes.
How did it smell? Was it bad?
Putrid, yeah.
Now, I want to talk about whether or not, was there a camera in the room?
Yes.
And what was your understanding of what was happening with the camera?
So the camera was a Ring camera. It had two-way communication, but the communication from the person viewing the camera to the person that is being supervised by the camera separated by the click of a button on the phone or any device you can to watch the video.
So the person outside the room watching on the Ring camera could talk to you inside the room?
Yes, by the click of a button.
So they would have to click on something in order to hear them. And they could also potentially hear what you would say.
Yes.
Were there times that the defendants in this case, Tim and Tracy Ferreter, were there times that they spoke to you only through the camera?
Yes.
Now, we talked a little bit about the room, but tell me about the door. How was the room? Could you come and go from that room as you pleased?
No.
Tell me how it was.
So, the door in Florida?
In Florida.
All right, the door in Florida of December of 2021.
To January of 2022, yes.
Yes. I had a normal lock on the handle and a deadbolt also.
Okay. Which side of the door was the normal lock on the handle?
The outside of the room.
Okay. And what about the deadbolt?
Outside the room.
So when you were inside the room, were you able to open the door if it was locked?
No.
Okay. Did that happen? Were you locked inside of the room?
Yes.
Was that most of the time you were in the room it was locked?
Yes.
Now, when you were in the room, did you always were you always given access to water when you were locked inside the room?
I received water occasionally, but not at a regular basis.
Okay. So there are times when you're given a cup or a water bottle to have in the room.
Yes.
But there are also occasions when you're locked inside the room without anything to drink.
Yes.
And what about food? Did you ever eat any of your meals in the room?
I ate a majority of my meals in the room.
If you were in the room and you didn't have any food at that time and you were hungry, did you have the ability to get additional food?
No.
Is that something you were allowed to do, to go in the kitchen and get a snack or get additional food if you were hungry?
No.
If you did that, what would happen?
Did you get punished? Yes.
Ronan, did you like being in that room?
No.
Did you want to be in the room?
No.
How did it make you feel?
To me, being locked in a room, it's dehumanizing. It's almost as bad as genocide. It's saddening to abuse a child that was just acting like a child, never thinking of what an adult would think to do to a child that would succumb his or her efforts in daily life to succeed, suffering from emotional pain, suffering, trauma.
So were you, did you have a choice about whether or not to go in that room? Like, were you forced?
Yes.
By Tim and Tracy Ferriter to go into the room?
Yes.
If you resisted or, you know, didn't follow their directions, what would happen?
I would be put in the room by physical force.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, so the period that we're really talking about here is about a 5 or 6 week period in December 2021 to the end of January 2022, right? So I want to talk about what the majority of your life was like in that room in Florida. And just so we're clear, when you moved from Arizona, was the room there and ready for you?
Yes.
So you never stayed anywhere else in the house?
No, the room was not ready for me in Arizona, but it was ready for me in
Florida. In Florida, I'm so sorry. When you came from Arizona to Florida, the room had already been finished being specially constructed for you.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I want to talk about kind of what your typical school day was like during that time period, all right? Typically, just on average, what time of the day would you be woken up?
I'd be woken up around 6:30 to 7 o'clock.
And how would you be woken up? Like, how would it be wake-up time? Did you have an alarm clock? Would you naturally wake up? How would that happen?
Tim and Tracy would unlock my door.
Okay, so someone would come in?
Yes.
Would your lights have been off and you be in the dark?
Yes.
Before that? At that point, would you be given the opportunity to go to the bathroom?
Yes.
If you had to use the bucket at that point, or sometime during the previous night, what would happen?
I would dump it into the bushes behind the house.
Now, you said that you would wake up sometime between 6, they would wake you up on average between 6 and 7 in the morning.
Yes.
You would get to go to the bathroom. What would happen when you were done going to the bathroom?
I would be put back in my room or doing household chores around the house.
When you were put back into the room, would you be locked in?
Yes.
And at this point, would you get dressed for school?
Yes.
Where were your clothes kept?
Outside the room. Okay.
And so when we say outside the room, like in the garage?
Yes.
Would you get breakfast?
Occasionally, yes.
Okay. So were there times, some of those days, that they didn't give you breakfast?
Yes.
But were there also lots of days where they did, in fact, give you breakfast?
It wasn't a lot. It was probably 50-50.
Okay. When you would get breakfast, would that be out in the kitchen with the rest of the family, or where would it be?
It would be either outside or in my room.
Okay. And when you say outside, you mean outside the house?
Yes.
When it was in the room, what typically would you get for breakfast?
Peanut butter and bread and a fruit or something.
Okay. A fruit, like something like a banana?
Yes.
And so when you say peanut butter and bread, do you mean just like peanut butter on two slices of bread?
Yes.
And those would be brought into your room?
Yes.
And you would have it in the room?
Yes.
Would that be the breakfast almost every day? Or would there be variation?
It would be the same breakfast every single day.
Now, while you're eating breakfast in the room, would you have to have anything to do in the room, or what would be happening before you go to school?
I had a sleeve of books and textbooks, but that's all I had.
Okay. Would there sometimes you do homework in the morning?
Yes.
What time approximately, so would you be in the room from the time you got let out at 6 and 7 in the morning until it was time to leave for school?
Yes.
What time approximately do you leave for school?
9 o'clock.
And then you get to school?
Yes.
And school's pretty close, right?
Yes.
And so you did, in fact, attend Independence Middle School while you were here in Jupiter, Florida?
Yes.
Now, at school, would you get lunch?
No, I brought lunch.
Who made that lunch?
Tracy.
And what would be in that lunch?
A plain peanut butter sandwich, either some sort of chips and a fruit.
Would you be allowed to, if you wanted to buy extra snacks at school?
No.
Were you allowed to have any more snacks than what was given to you in your lunch?
No.
Were you allowed to buy a school lunch?
No.
Did you want snacks?
Yes.
Did the other kids at school have snacks?
Yes.
Is that something that was kind of hard for you, that to see other kids getting snacks and not being able to have them?
Yes.
Now, what time approximately would school be over?
3 o'clock.
And what time would you get home from school?
Around 3:30.
And then when you would get home from school on most days, what would happen?
I'd be put back into my room.
And when you say put back into the room, are you locked in the room?
Yes.
And would you have been allowed to leave the room during that time? Would you be allowed, or did I confuse you?
Yeah.
Did you have the choice if you wanted to, say, sit in the living room and watch TV after school? Is that something that you could do?
No.
Could you be in the house? In the main house?
No.
Now, so you get back around 3:30, and then how long do you stay in the room in the afternoon?
On most days, until 7 o'clock or dinner time.
Okay. Would you eat dinner in the room or with the family?
In the room.
And are there some times on occasion that you would be allowed to eat dinner with the family?
Yes.
Most of the time, though, where were you eating dinner?
In my room.
And when you're eating dinner in the room, are you locked in the room?
Yes.
Are you? Did they ever let you out before bed to go to the bathroom?
Yes.
Okay. Would that be kind of right before you went to bed?
Yes.
Sustain, rephrase. Okay.
When would you usually be let out to go to the bathroom? At the end of the day?
Like when Tim and Tracy go to bed, which is around 9, 10 o'clock.
And after you're let out to go to the bathroom at night, did you get, what happened next?
I was locked into my room.
And then throughout the night, are you locked in the room?
Yes.
Now, when the defendants would go to bed, what happened with the lights?
The lights were off or on.
Now, in the room, I want to talk about, were there, we talked about what furniture you had. At some points during this time frame, did you have other things in the room?
Well, I had my small selection of toys and just books.
Okay, so books, toys. At some point, did some of those items get taken out of the room?
Yes.
And then you said that you had books and toys. Was there a point where you only had books?
Yes.
Did those books eventually, some of them, get taken away?
Yes.
And how many? What kind? How many books were you kind of left at with?
Like 2 or 3 textbooks.
Okay. Were you allowed to have electronics in the room?
No.
Go ahead.
The only electronic allowed in my room was my school computer.
Were you allowed to have it in with you at all times?
No.
Just when you were doing schoolwork?
Yes.
When you had your school computer, were you allowed to play computer games on it at all ever?
No.
Is that something that a lot of middle school kids do?
Yes.
Is that something that kids would talk about doing at school?
Yes.
Did you want to play games on your computer?
Yes.
Now, we talked a little bit about the lights being off at night. Were there times where the lights were off during the day?
Yes.
And approximately when that would happen, how long were you, how long would that go on for? Like, would it be for 5 minutes or would it be for longer than that?
It would be around for a couple hours.
Now, I want to talk about other times in the, in Florida. Were there times in Florida where you were, in fact, outside of the house?
Yes.
Or inside the house itself?
Yeah, there were times where I was inside the house.
There were some occasions where you were allowed to be in the living room.
Yes.
Is that what you mean? Or in the kitchen with the rest of the family?
Usually I was just in the living room doing chores or in the kitchen also doing chores.
Now, was there time in Florida where you were outside of the house?
Yes.
What would you be doing outside of the house, mostly?
Raking leaves, moving shells.
Now, when you were outside of the house, are you under the direct supervision of your parents or are you kind of out there by yourself?
They had a camera to watch me, but it was another Ring camera. But otherwise, I was not supervised while I was outside.
So you'd be outside of the house by yourself for periods of time?
Yes.
Now, were there a couple occasions where maybe you did get to play or, interact with your siblings outside?
Yeah.
But for the most part, when you were outside, what were you having to do?
Yard work, chores.
And could you, when you were doing the yard work or the chores, if you got hot or you needed a drink of water, were you allowed to just go in the house and get those things?
No.
Were there times where the front door was locked and you couldn't get in?
Yes.
What would you have to do in that circumstance? Would you just have to wait outside or
yes,
something
I
else?
Wait outside.
Okay, until they decide to let you in?
Yes.
Now, I want to talk about in Florida, were there instances where the defendant in this case, Tim Ferriter, acted towards you in a way that was physically aggressive?
Repeat the question.
Was there ever any physical aggression towards you in Florida?
There was instances of grabbing and pushing, but otherwise, no.
Okay.
Physical contact such as punching, hitting, smacking.
Right. That none of that happened during the time frame in Florida?
No.
Were there times where he was verbally aggressive to you in Florida?
Yes.
What kind of things would he say to you?
He would say, this is a piece of
you can spell
S-H-I-T.
It.
You better, you better pick it up, yeah.
Would he call you names?
No.
Would he yell at you?
Yes.
And would he scream at you?
Yes.
Did it appear to you, based on how he was interacting with you, that he was angry at you?
Yes.
And is the same true for Tracy?
No.
Now, because of his verbal aggression, did you have a belief as to whether or not he could, if you didn't listen to him, or if that there was a risk, or that were you concerned that he would be physically aggressive to you?
I can safely assume that he could cause bodily harm to me.
Overall.
And is that based on some of your prior experiences in Arizona?
Yes.
Overall.
Now, I want to talk about Arizona now, okay? That's where you lived immediately prior to coming to Florida. We ended up talking about Florida, about times where you were outside and couldn't come in the house. Did that happen in Arizona as well?
Yes.
Were you locked outside?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
I had to move rocks and stones and shrubs and cactus around the lawn, but I was unable to go inside to eat or get water.
Now, in Arizona initially, when you said you, I think we said that you moved there in early elementary school.
Yes.
You said, I think, around third grade.
Yes.
Initially there, did you have a room inside the house?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me how the rooms were initially when you moved to Arizona.
So, that you wanted to describe the room?
Yeah.
All right. The room, it had a desk, it had a dresser. It even once had a coffee table for me to play chess. And it had a bed with a mattress, box spring, bed frame. Yeah. And
is that your room inside the house?
Yes.
Okay. And during that time frame, is Pierce born at that point?
No.
When, at some point in Arizona, did they build a different room-like structure for you in the garage?
Yes.
And the defendant's the one that had that built?
Yes.
When approximately did you end up having to go into the garage room?
About a week before Pierce was born.
Okay. And you said that's about when you were in the fifth grade?
Yes.
Okay, so around 11 years old? And there, prior though, when you were in the room in the house, were you able, was that room, the room in the house, ever locked?
Yes.
Was it locked from the outside?
Yes.
So in the room, when you were in the room in the house, were there times when you couldn't leave or go into the room when you wanted? In the house in Arizona?
Yes.
Did that room have access to a bathroom?
No.
Now, I want to talk about the room in the garage in Arizona. Was that room similar to the room that you lived in Jupiter, Florida?
Yes.
Tell me about that room.
So, it had a bed frame, a box spring, and a mattress. It had a desk.
Did it have any windows?
No windows, just an... there was a wall-mounted AC conditioner, and it also had a dresser, which was removed from the room at later stages.
Were you allowed to touch or utilize the air conditioner?
No.
In Arizona? Did it sometimes get hot?
Yes.
And did that room have a bathroom?
No.
Did it have the bucket that you already told us about?
Yes.
How did that room smell?
Bad.
In Arizona, you kind of gave us your average day here in Florida. Was it similar to the amount of time that you were in the room in Arizona?
Yes.
Were there times in Arizona that you were in the room for longer periods of time?
Yes.
About how long would you say is the longest?
About 18 hours.
And were there times where you didn't get meals in that room in Arizona?
Yes.
Would it that happen for like the whole day, or would just a meal or two, or explain to us how it was? When you wouldn't get meals, how would that happen? What would that be like? Would it be every meal, or give us some context?
I had a fluctuating frequency. Sometimes I got all three meals, sometimes I only got one, sometimes I only got two. Yeah.
Now, were there times that the family went to events or out of the house and you were alone locked in the room?
Yes.
That happened in Florida too?
Yes.
Now, in Arizona, we talked about the fact that there was some physical aggression in Florida, but there wasn't physical punishment. In Arizona, was there physical aggression from Tim Ferrata towards you?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
One time I got smacked in the face.
Okay. Do you ever grab you by the neck or push you against the wall, anything like that?
Yeah, he did that.
Sustain, rephrase.
Tell me about some other instances besides getting smacked in the face.
He would grab me by the neck, he would grab my arm. He would
Was there ever instances of physical punishment in Arizona?
Yes.
Okay, tell me about that.
So, Tim had a jump rope. He used me for punishment and also a belt.
Okay, and when you say a jump rope or a belt, what would he do with those?
Spank me with them.
Okay, hit you with them?
Yes.
Where in the house would you be when that happened?
In my room.
Okay. Who else would be in there?
No one else.
So just you and the defendant?
Yes.
Would the defendant be saying anything to you? Would there be yelling or anything like that?
There'll be a lot of yelling, yes.
And did it seem like he was angry at you during these?
Yes.
Now, during the course of your childhood, your time in the time we were talking about in Arizona and also in Florida, did you ever see any of your sisters get punished?
No.
Would they be punished or treated in the same way that you were for the same type of conduct?
No.
What was the difference?
They got their phones taken away for like a day or two.
And what would happen to you?
I would get locked in my room. Yeah.
Okay. Your Honor, if I can just have a second.
You may.
Florida. When you are in that structure that they built in the garage, are you physically able to leave or escape? Like without, you know, just normally, are you able to escape?
Sustain, rephrase, counsel.
Were you able to open the door from the inside?
Overruled.
You can answer the question, that means.
Totally forgot the question.
Yeah, it's okay. Were you able to open the door from the inside when it was locked?
If I had a key, no, but I didn't know.
But did you have a key?
No.
Did you have any way to get out of the room once they locked you inside?
I devised a couple of plans, but I didn't.
Right. Were any of those plans have worked?
It was one time where I stuck a Lego piece in the pin for the door, but I kind of realized that wasn't deep enough.
So there wasn't a way immediately available. Was there a way immediately available for you to be able to leave that room?
No. Okay.
That's all the questions I have.
All right, Cross. You're going to do the cross, Ms. Murad?
Yes, sir.
All right, you may begin at your convenience.
Hi, Ronan.
Hi.
So we're going to, I want to talk a little bit about what the state has said. I know you've been sitting there for a long time, so if you need a break, let me know, okay?
All right.
Okay. So do you think it's fair to say that you talked a lot about your time at Tim and Tracy's house on direct examination, right? Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry.
And nope, that's okay. Since we're recording, you do have to answer out loud, okay?
Okay.
So if I ever say if that's a yes, I just mean I want to get it on the record, all right?
All right.
Okay. Do you think it's fair to say that it's hard to think of the good memories because everyone around you now has a bad image of Tim and Tracy? Objection, improper.
Overruled. You can answer.
We say that question again?
Sure. Do you think it's hard to think of good memories when everyone around you has a bad image of Tim and Tracy in their mind?
I can easily recall the good times, but I don't have a bad image of Tim and Tracy. They just made a mistake. They were just acting out of frantic surprise of my actions. They weren't. I believe that they weren't trying to do any harm.
Yeah.
I believe that people should recognize that was a mistake and forgive them and move on.
I appreciate that, Ronan. I want to talk a little bit about the family schedules that you all had in your house, okay?
All right.
So you have three brothers and sisters, right?
Yes, sorry.
That's okay. Nola, right?
Yes.
Fiona.
Yes.
And Pierce.
Yes.
Pierce is a little baby.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And right now he's probably about 2 or 3 years old?
I think he's either 4 or 5.
Okay. I'm sorry. I probably have the dates wrong. So Pierce, obviously, when he was a baby, Tracy took care of him a lot, right?
Yes.
And Tracy was the one who normally stayed home.
Yes.
And Tim worked a lot.
Yes.
Is it fair to say that Tim was, for the most part, Tim was the one that was working and Tracy was the one who was at home?
Yes.
And Tim also traveled abroad a lot for work.
Yes.
So you also have Nola, who is the sporty one. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
So she has softball, right?
Yes.
I think she played soccer, too.
She played soccer in Florida before we moved to Arizona.
Oh, okay. But softball was her main thing.
Yes.
And she would have a lot of practices, right?
Yes.
You would go to some of those practices. Yes. And Fiona would go to band.
Yes.
And she also, I think, did concert band, right?
Yes.
So there was marching band and concert band.
Yes.
And Tracy would be responsible for driving her around to this stuff as well.
Yes.
You had your activities. I know you tried track, right?
Yes.
I think in Florida you did chess for a little bit.
Yes.
So Tracy's kind of running around trying to keep everybody at their various activities. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. You did this with the state, but I want to establish a little bit of a clear timeline for the jury. So you were adopted in, I have the date in front of me, in 2009?
Yes.
Okay, great. So you're adopted in 2009, and then your family lives in Florida when you're a baby, right?
To be honest, we didn't, I don't know where I lived between in my younger years, because I can't remember, because I was a toddler.
Fair enough.
But
will you take my word for it that for a couple years you were
sustained?
You remember living in Arizona after that, right?
No, I remember living in Florida. Then I moved to Arizona. Then I moved back to Florida. That's all I remember.
Okay, so you're in Arizona from about the when you're about 11 or 12. All the way up to December of 2021. Is that right?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I think you were a little younger, but all the way up to December 2021, and then you moved to Florida, right?
Yep.
And you ran away around end of January 2022? The most recent time?
Yes.
Okay. So the time frame we're talking about that you stayed in Florida most recently in Tim and Tracy's house was end of December 2021 to end of January 2022, right?
Sorry, I'm distracted. Say that again.
That's okay. When you all moved to Florida, the most recent time, it was about Christmas time, December 2021, all the way to end of January 2022 when you ran away,
yes.
Right? Okay. And when you moved, I assume there was no school because it was Christmas time.
Yes.
And your family was moving boxes, trying to get everything packed up, right?
Yes.
Okay. And then after that, you pretty much started school after the Christmas holiday.
Yes.
I want to talk about the different rooms that you had. We'll start with Arizona, okay?
All right.
So the first room you had, not the first room, but what the state was talking about was a room inside the house in Arizona that ultimately had a lock placed on it. Is that right?
Yes.
And that room had a lock placed on it while Tracy was pregnant with Pierce.
Yes.
That room had a window.
Yes.
It had a desk.
Yes.
It had a dresser.
Yes.
It had a bed.
Yes.
And it had a closet.
Yes.
And you said it also had a coffee table for you to play chess.
Yeah.
Which you're still really good at, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that door was not always locked.
No.
There were times that you could move in and out for freely from that door.
Yes.
Okay. The next room is a week after Pierce is born. About a week? A week before Pierce is born. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And that room was built in the garage.
Yes.
Now, you and the girls, by that I mean Nolan and Fiona, had previously, not this room, but used the garage to, like, watch movies and stuff, right?
Yes.
But this garage room was built specifically for you.
Yes.
And it had a bed.
Yes.
It had a desk.
Yes.
And it had a dresser.
Yes.
And you think it was about an 8x10 or 8x9 room as well?
Yes.
It also had stuff on the walls, right?
Yes.
I think you had like a periodic table on it. Mm-hmm. Is that a yes?
Yes.
But then sometimes you would get angry and rip that stuff off the walls, right?
Yes.
Tim and Tracy never took that stuff off the walls. And that room also was not always locked.
That room was always locked.
Okay. So it's your testimony that at no point could you sort of move freely in and out of that room in Arizona?
I cannot. That door was always locked.
Now I want to take you to the room in Florida, which was built in December of 2021, okay?
All right.
That was an 8x8 room, right?
Yes.
That room also had a bed, a desk, a dresser, right?
No dresser.
No dresser, I'm sorry. Just a bed and a desk, right?
Yes.
And then the clothes you said would actually be kept outside the room.
Yes.
And part of that was because you would sometimes hide electronics in there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you have, like, ripped up your clothes before, too?
I only done it once, and that was in Arizona, but I don't rip my clothes.
Okay.
Not on a regular basis.
All right, but sometimes when you get angry, or at least one time, you did rip up all your clothes.
Yeah.
And that bed, I know the state said you moved in December. In that Florida room, you were warm enough?
It's not that I was warm enough. It was that I was too warm. And we had a fan. We put a fan in my room.
I see. So you had, like, I mean, you had sheets and a bed, right? Or like, a sheets and a pillow.
Yes.
And a blanket.
Yes.
And then you also had the air conditioning unit installed there.
Yes.
Your Honor, can I approach?
You may. Approach me.
Oh, no. Sorry. I meant the witness. I was wondering. I was like, why the background noise?
I didn't see anybody moving toward me, so I assume you meant the witness.
Ronan, I'm going to hand you, this is a little lawyer talk, what I have marked as Defense Exhibit 15 for identification purposes only, okay? Do you see that photo right there?
Yes.
Is that a photo of you?
Yes.
And is that a photo of you in the room in Florida?
Yes.
And I think that's early on before you had some of the stuff removed from your room, right?
Yes.
And is that a fair and accurate depiction of, at least at one point, what that room looked like?
Yes.
At this time, defense moves to admit Defense Exhibit 15 into evidence, starting all marks of identification.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
Court receives and accepts Defense Exhibit 15 in evidence without objection.
May I publish it to the jury?
No? You may.
There's more to come.
Kid in a Cage. Florida versus Timothy Ferriter from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Press subscribe now.
I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. With plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code iHeart. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code iHeart. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code iHeart. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code iHeart. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code iHeart. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. I bet you've probably been to the doctor's office in the past few months. I bet you had to hand over personal info, like your insurance, your ID, maybe even your social security number. And I bet you weren't thinking about how your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal information. If any one of them isn't careful, it's a good bet they could accidentally expose your details to hackers and identity theft, putting you at risk. Fortunately, LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed or your money back, with plans covering up to $3 million for stolen funds and expenses. Don't take chances with your personal info. Help protect it even when it's out of your hands. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code iHeart. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.